listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
My pussy be yanking, got this nigga feeling hypnotized. Close your eyes, hold my thighs, we gonna enjoy this ride. I see that Magnum wrapper, nigga, that's the perfect size. And you can hit with, you can hit it whenever, ain't got to fantasize. Look like you tired, I suggest you pop a pill or two. You gotta keep up when I make this thing do what it do. You think you want it, but you don't really want none. I ain't come to play, I came to get this job done. I can't even lie, fuck better when I'm drinking.
Hey, this pussy be yanking.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on Saturday. Feedback time. Early voting Saturday.
Yes, it is.
For some of y'all, you know, we voted early today. So we got our shit over. So we'll just see what happens on the next Super Tuesday. I mean, how many of these are there gonna be?
I don't know. It's a bunch of goddamn Super Tuesdays.
It's getting to be quite a lot.
It's like every Tuesday is a Super Tuesday. A
lot of Super Tuesdays going on around here. We also, you know, have feedback. You know, all the people that went to the blackoutist.com left comments, voted in the polls. All the people who donated left voicemails, emails. So many ways to get in contact with the show and let us know what you think. Appreciate everybody took the time out to do so. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And speaking of people that did donate, let me get my donation music up. Of course, you can go to the blackoutist.com. On the right hand side, there's like a hey, you want to donate type button. You can do one-time donations, recurring donations, you know, whatever you want. We don't disclose not denominations. We don't you know, we just give everybody a shout out because we appreciate everybody chipping in, no matter where you're at or what you're doing. True. You know, because it helps out the show. Wait, why is Spotify moving so slow? Come on, Spotify. Let's get to the music. We gonna play the song. All right. So with no further delay, let's give everybody a shout out that did take the time out to you know, to donate to the Black Guy Who Tips, because can't do it without you guys. And boom, there we go. All right. First of all, shout out to recession, depression. Unemployment.
Oh shit, we got the right choir here today.
Yeah, that's right. I thought you said you didn't like when I had the other people, so I'll switch it back. Catherine B, recurring donator. Thank you very much, Catherine.
Thank you, sweetie.
Tavon S, recurring donator. Thank you, Tavon. Damian Jackson.
Ooh, I am for real.
Joy M, recurring donator. Appreciate you, Joy. Shantae B, recurring donator. Thank you, Shantae. Vicky I is a brand new recurring donator. Thank you very much, Vicky.
First time I heard that one.
We appreciate you. Pamela B, recurring donator. Thank you, Pamela. I hope I pronounced this right. I hope I don't fuck it up. Ijeoma I, recurring donator. Thank you very much, Ijeoma. Chala Y, recurring donator. Thank you, Chala. I feel like all these people are new. Maybe it's just been so long. I don't know. I feel like all y'all new. Thank you. Double A Media, recurring donator. We got a one-time donator from Cassie F. One-time donation. Thank you. One-time donation from Aaron T. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you. Yeah, all these names sound new to me.
Linwood C, one-time donator. Gabriel L, recurring donator. I know that name. Michael Irvin, the playmaker, recurring donator.
Know that name.
And that's everybody. Play me out. Sunshine.
But clouds and it's dark in my heart and it feels like a cold
night. It ain't easy, but
today's a new day. But tell me what about my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's all right.
The truth is,
I almost gave up, but I'm
all right. Holy Ghost power. We got 5-star reviews. Oh, iTunes and Stitcher. A lot of 5-star reviews on iTunes.
Woohoo!
Thank you guys who took the time out to do that.
Yes, we overshadowed the foolishness, because Roger woke up this morning and it was more stupidity, so this outshines that.
Mm-hmm. Mudro writes in, Rod and Karen are the best 5 stars. I love you guys. Thanks, Mudro.
Thank you, sweetie.
And he's old school. We've been listening forever.
Oh, for a long time.
The Mudro from way back. Mm-hmm. BAP Pod says, another 1 5-star, so I had to start another iTunes account for the show. I decided that if I had to start a new account, I might as well give another round of 5-star reviews to my favorite shows. Keep going and keep being an inspiration for so many folks. No pressure. Happy to call y'all friends. Here's to much success and like at least 20 more years of podcasting. Go, Aaron. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you, sweetie.
Lakers Hoops 32 says, great podcast. TBGWT podcast is glorious. Mind you, I don't normally listen to podcasts because I prefer music, but my boyfriend had it on in the car one day and I absolutely loved it. Rod and Karen talk about a lot of different things and keep it real. Lots of humor as well. I also love the Guess the Race game at the end, probably my favorite part of the podcast. This is now 1 of 3 or 4 podcasts I listen to and is definitely my first choice. Highly recommend.
Ooh, I'm glad we're in your top picks.
That's some high praise. Thank you.
It really is.
My favorite podcast, 5 stars by Shells, who also tips. This review is dedicated to recession, depression, and unemployment.
Yes.
I've been listening to this podcast for at least a couple of years. My mom is the one who put me down with TVGWT, and I've been here for it ever since. Hey, we got to teach the babies. Mm-hmm. Shout out to your mom.
Thank you, mama.
Thanks to TVGT, I now listen to Chris from Movie Trailer Reviews, The Evening Jones with Bomani Jones, Twip, and many, many more. This show is for people who think critically and enjoy the finer things in life, such as laughter and unfiltered blackness. This couple is lovely, insightful, funny, and a great example of black love. I admire Karen's easygoing personality. I love when she says, what's happening here?
I'd be so lost, y'all.
I think Rod is a great role model for men across the board because he's not afraid of standing up for what's right, even if it's the unpopular stance. Oh, thank you. I've been told that my Facebook page is too rigid and I jumped to conclusions too much, guys. To which I'm like, I didn't invite anyone to be my friend. Everybody joined willingly.
Right. Yes, they did.
You heard the podcast before you friended me.
Right.
Keep up the amazing work. P.S. Balls Deep is hands down my favorite premium show. Shout out to Justin. I think I went premium just so I could hear him on a weekly basis. Please, please bring him back for them Thrones friend hand emoji. Hey, that's all up to him and school, man.
Yeah, as ratchet as he may sound, on the low, he trying to get educated.
Right. He's a responsible person and shit, right?
I know. You wouldn't believe it, but he really is.
Love your show. 5 stars. Lil Trunks 47. I love your political commentary. Thanks for keeping it real about Bernie Sanders and Hillary. I can't vibe with either, but I know it's important to vote. Keep up the great work, cynical Democrat. Yeah, I'm cynical as fuck, man. I wasn't, like, this is the first time in a while where I voted. I was just like, well, I'm glad that's over. You know, like.
What?
Can we just go, like, can we just fast forward to the general so everybody can get, you know, get ready for whatever, you know, like, I'm just so sick of the endless debates and arguing and everyone acting like their Twitter timeline is gonna fucking solve the election. Just like, come on, man, just let's just get it over with, y'all.
Yes,
I'm gonna miss Obama.
Me too. I'm gonna be like a little baby. I'm gonna be crying and everything.
Mm-hmm. TBGWT is amazing. Highly recommend by Lakers Hoop 32. Wait, didn't you just leave us? How you leave too?
I don't know, but we'll take them all.
TBGWT is a gloriously amazing podcast. Wow, we improved that fast. I don't have to listen to podcasts. I prefer music over talking. Oh, wait, it's the same one, yeah.
Okay. We'll take all the stars.
My other half had TBG on one day while we were driving into work, and I've been hooked ever since. I love how Ryder Karen cover current events, topics, while integrating humor, and they keep it real. Also, thoroughly enjoying the Guess the Race game. Quite possibly my favorite part of the podcast. Love the podcast. Keep what y'all do. Oh, it was a little bit different.
Thank
I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate you. WrathX959 says, hilarious 5 stars, great podcast. Samuel Bell from the Facebook group. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you. It don't gotta be long, y'all.
Shout out to Sam.
Mm-hmm. We see all y'all members of the Facebook group communicating with each other and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Kid Jock says, I found this podcast after listening to Bomani Jones' Evening Jones, and it's given me life since I first heard it. Ryder, Karen are like play cousins. You always enjoy hanging out with at the family reunion, but if you had one 5 times a week, I've been listening for a while. I had to write this review at the co-pastor call me out. They always provide insightful commentary and keep me laughing throughout the week. Love you guys, Kojo T. Thanks, Kojo.
Thank you, sweetie.
Imani Ani. Maybe that's how it is.
Yeah, I'll take that.
So good, 5 stars. I actually left a review 2 weeks ago, so I don't know what I did wrong. I guess it didn't load. Anyway, the podcast is awesome. Everyone should be listening, even if you're a hater. Then write a review that maybe Rod will read, and we can hear him and Karen do their favorite "Your hate gives me power" laugh. And for the and for goodness sakes, y'all leave a review. I don't know about y'all, but I can only take so much Karen guilt energy.
She's like, come on y'all, y'all see her here pleading.
See, it's just like church. Once you give the review, you can immediately start judging everybody else. That's why you should give the review.
Mm-hmm. So you can start looking around the congregation going, mm-hmm.
It's like when you get married and go back to church and you like, you sinners, look at you out here fornicating
right now,
filthy heaving sex.
Right now I can have sex and not feel guilty.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm judging all you bitches.
Sure, my tongue smells like butthole, but it's purely sanctified married butthole.
It's undefiled.
Funny and smart podcast. Rachel Rakowski says, I'm addicted. 5 stars. Thank you.
Oh.
About time, says G Benton 14. Hello, Rod and Karen. I've been listening now for a few weeks and I wanted to let you know I enjoy the podcast. Keep up the great work. Funny, insightful, always with a listen. Again, great job, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie.
And B Maynor, I hope I said that right. B Maynor or B Maynori. Says great podcast, 5 stars. I listen to this podcast on my bike ride home almost every night to get my black card refilled. Secret admission, it took me a year to listen to your podcast for me to realize you guys do not write your own hip-hop lyrics at the beginning of the show.
I
finally recognized the song and I was like, y'all were jacking lyrics all this time, and I thought Rob was working his way to being a rapper via podcast land. I'm so late.
Right, he does have a mixtape.
Oh, come on. I want to start these podcasts with freestyles every week. But then wouldn't they be more timely and relevant and have something to do with the show?
True.
He probably thought I was the greatest rapper alive till I start rapping about yanking today.
Yanking what? What are we yanking?
He thought all the guests was freestyling too?
Apparently so.
It was all calling in like, oh shit, Ray Gomez just dropped a hot 16 for no
yes,
reason.
Yes, acapella.
One of my favorites, Doubly25 says, TBGWT is one of my favorite podcasts and I listen to it regularly. I love that 97% of the time Ryan and Karen say what I'm thinking, and 3% of the time they challenge me and make me say, what was I thinking? All while making me laugh. Thanks for all that y'all do. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for all the reviews, y'all. Thank you so much.
That's one thing I will always say. People write in and say, I don't always agree with you. And I don't feel bad about it. It's because y'all are wrong. And that's
no,
okay. We working on you one podcast at a time, and you gonna get on the same level that we on. Okay, just keep listening. You just don't give up on yourself. But don't you write no review until you realize that we are right about everything. If you start writing in these reviews while still think that we wrong about shit and writing us emails, that's your fault. You should have waited a little longer. We had several people write bad reviews or bad emails and shit, and then they waited a little bit longer and they realized, you know what, man? You right.
Yeah, and they rewrote their reviews.
Right. So, I appreciate y'all being patient enough to understand that we are right about everything. You just haven't caught up yet. On Stitcher, we got 1 5-star review from Lily or Lil? Lele? 5 stars. Since Karen calling people out, is the title of this. Since Karen calling people out, LOL, forgive me for my tardiness. Smiley face. I have been listening to the show for a couple of months now, and this show is the best. This podcast is how I get my news, and you both keep doing what you're doing. Love you both, and this is my favorite show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lily or Lel or Lil. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And we also had comments on the actual website. We had episode 1155. 1151, what's the yams? What's the yams? No actual comments, but we had the poll with, also had no comments, but here's the results. The poll, was, what's the yams? The Power That Be. it brought it out of Richard Pryor and manipulated Billy Clinton with desires.
Oh.
Or the edible starchy tuber of a climbing plant widely distributed in tropical and subtropical countries. Well, the yams is the power that be. According to the poll, 57% of y'all thinks the yams is the power that be. Now, that was followed closely by 37% of y'all who think the yams are the edible starchy tuber of a climbing plant widely distributed in tropical and subtropical countries. And that means only 7% of y'all thought the yams brought it out of Richard Pryor and manipulated Billy Clinton with desires. 24/7, 365 days times two. I was contemplating getting off stage. That's sad, guys. Anyway, or as that other guy would say, the yams out of Billy Pryor, Richard Pryor, manipulated Billy Clinton with desire. Yeah. What's the yams?
Damn, what's the yams? Turn to rock song.
We had episode 1152, Prison of Blackness. We talked about David Ireland Greer, Leslie Jones in the new Ghostbusters, Killer Mike for Bernie. It's a bunch of shit that happened. Buzz. So we had 5 comments. Some of them are long. So we
had something to say. A lot of people had commenting to us on particularly Twitter. A lot of people had a lot to say.
Yeah, I was really proud of this episode. I really feel that way about this. I mean, I'm always proud of the show, but I really feel that way because, you know, I had a lot that I wanted to say about the situation, and I felt that we were able to talk about it in a very, to at least make the argument for people needing to relax off the Leslie Jones hate. And which I don't expect. I expect this is one of those times where a lot of people that feel that way, whether it's rational or irrational, are not going to have their minds changed, and they probably just skip the episode or they don't like that we said that or whatever.
Right.
But this is my thinking on it, and I feel proud of what we did. I stand behind everything we said. And I feel the same way about our show, that there's a lot of people that, you know, they like what we do as a concept for just only black people hearing it. But if it ever got to a point where our audience grew to a different size, or we were on a different publication or something, people would start pulling some of the, like, well, I don't like that y'all say these things and white people can hear it. And it's like, well, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Gotta be me. Anyway, LR Joyner writes in, this episode was really just a giant fucking with black women segment that was really necessary to hear. As you eloquently put it, Rod, it really is a sickness that we have as black people that we see a black woman who has paid her dues in comedies on the comedy 20 plus years, who does not fit societal standards of beauty, get the career break of a lifetime. The first thing we're doing is worrying about whether or not she's cooning or selling out before we've even seen the damn movie. Just the other day, I was talking to my friend. She started to say something about Tyler Perry. She stopped and said, oh, you probably don't want to hear this. I said, no, please say it. She said, I think he should be a motivational speaker, but I know you hate him, so I didn't say it. So then I responded telling her that I don't hate him. I admire that dude. He went from sleeping in his car to creating a movie studio. His story and testimony does make him exceptionally qualified to be a motivational speaker. I don't like his movies, but I'll never knock him for what all he's done for a group of people who nobody would cater to.
Right.
Which essentially is the same point you guys made on the show. We can't throw away our own because we're scared of what white people might think of them, even if it's someone we don't necessarily like or patronize. You know, see, that's the other thing that was killing me, is like, you don't have to support someone just because they're black. So if you have decided this person is not, like, I don't watch Don Lemon's show.
Me either.
You know, doesn't mean he ain't a black person. I just don't agree with him on a lot of stuff, and just because he's black is not good enough of a reason for me to support him. You know, and it shouldn't, to me, it seems, to me, I think that kind of reasoning shouldn't be good enough for anybody. I feel like everybody, like, you being black is like the bare minimum of some shit. Like, it's, you can be black and put out a quality product and then people will patronize it. You can be black and put out bullshit and then people won't patronize it. It's kind of simple, you know? But yeah, so I just think that a lot of people do that, where it's like, well, this person's black, I feel bad because I'm not supporting them. It's like, yeah, I don't support Steve Harvey's relationship advice. I don't agree with it. It doesn't matter that he's black.
Right.
He says, but because one day the black woman comedian who isn't stereotypically pretty that you people who are shitting on Leslie like is going to get her shot, and it's going to be because people like Leslie doing well when they got their shot. As far as the brother who wrote the article about MHP not owning her masters, he sounds like a hotel brother who's always has to move the goalposts for black women. His article was poorly researched and imposed standards on MHP that he didn't even impose on himself. Then he tried to patronize black women with that black girl magic shit. No, my brother, black girl magic is being the preeminent scholar in your field and having integrity to be true to yourself and your craft such that you would walk away from a check and not sign a non-disclosure agreement because you know you're going to be all right and land on your feet. So fuck that dude. Sorry for the long comment, guys. I know I spazzed, but the show was that good.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, LR Joyner. Bamil73 says, hello, brother Rod and sister Karen. Hello, dear brother. Before I begin, may I ask, do you own your own your masters?
Well, I don't know, do we?
Do you generate the electricity that powers the servers, that feeds the routers, that feed the switches, that let the internet flow through the fiber optic cables that run to your abode? I didn't think so. So according to the writer, that stupid shit, you don't own your masters. There may be a parallel between the music industry and the type of work that MHP did at MSNBC, but not in the way he described. For his parallel to be accurate, the musicians he referenced will have to own the studios as well as all the instruments, etc., that facilitated their recording. The only parallel here is the intellectual property. MSNBC paid MHP for her to bring her vision and point of view, provided her with her technical staff and equipment to facilitate this. If she goes elsewhere, she would take that same vision and point of view as well. I hate when people get all wordy and scholarly about shit they don't know about. Yeah, the same thing happened to Bill Simmons at ESPN when they took they basically got him out of there. They got Grantland, which is theirs, it's not his because he built it under them,
right?
And he's gonna be fine. He's going to HBO starting his own shit, because at the end of the day, you can't copy the brain.
Nope.
You can't copy the point of view. You can't copy Bill Simmons. You can't copy the person that masterminded all this shit. And that's why still, no matter what happens, creative people do have a lot of power in the say-so. In the say-so. Look at, we'll probably talk about it on the show, but Dr. Luke has basically, Sony has severed ties with Dr. Luke. Well, why would they do that? They won the lawsuit against Kesha. Can't they just be like, fuck it, you work for us, just do what we tell you?
It doesn't benefit.
No, because the art is something they can't manipulate. They can win every ace. They can have every ironclad contract. End of the day, it's the artist that's the most important when it comes to this product. Nothing moves without the artist.
Right.
So they got rid of the dude because it's like, yeah, we would still rather her make music then say, we got this contract and you're not being able to tell us what to do is more important than anything. Nah.
Then all of that, you had us fucking waste money on some bullshit that you did.
Mm-hmm. So he says, if she goes elsewhere, she would take the same vision point of view as well. I hate when people get off. Okay. Question. What is the significance of the following phrase? Too hot to handle, too cold to hold. With the Ghostbusters and we're in control. Answer, it's the only fucking thing I remember about the first two Ghostbusters movies. I love that song. Too hot to handle, too cold to hold. Bobby. They called the Ghostbusters, they were in control. They were throwing a party for a bunch of children. All the wild slime was under the building.
Yeah.
That was my shit. Got a grip, came equipped, got the proton packs on their back, and they split. We're not about evil, the master of evil.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that Bobby.
Bobby was that doorman. That's all I remember from the movies.
That's all that mattered to me.
Anyway, I love your discussion on Leslie Jones and the upcoming reboot or sequel of that franchise. I get that people are upset or disappointed that the lone black woman isn't a scientist like the other three counterparts. But as you point out, even if she was a scientist, people would still be upset with her role. Isn't that respectability all over again? People are uncomfortable with some types of blackness. This is one of those things I've always envied about whiteness. The freedom to enjoy your multiplicity of artistic expression without the fear of setting your people back, end quotes. Additionally, it is without question that black women get it worse than men. There is this expectation in some circles that if some expressions of blackness do not pass an acceptable high watermark of respectable representation, then it's not worthy black expression. This used to be the case for hip hop until mainstream white publications like the New York Times started hiring writers that actually liked the music. Let me be clear. They hired young white writers, that like hip hop versus older white men that didn't. Now respectable publications are discussing what Kanye means when he raps about getting bleach on his t-shirt. I, for one, find Leslie funny as hell. And I do see, if I do see this movie, it'll be because she is in it. She's the only good thing about that trailer, in my opinion. We'll see. Maybe they'll have more trailers and I'll be more intrigued as it goes along. But right now, it's just kind of like, Leslie's funny, but I don't know about the rest of these motherfuckers because, you know, they ain't really have a lot of jokes in the trailer. And then there was something else I was going to say. Oh, yeah. Just the freedom of artistic expression as a white person. You can be Larry the Cable Guy and not consider setting white people back.
Yes, you can.
And
that dude been touring for years.
Right. But, you know, if you're Tracy Morgan, then it's like, well, we don't want Tracy Morgan to get too big. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, I don't know about this. And yeah, and it's definitely a double standard because black women get it way tougher because at the end of the day, if a Tracy Morgan does make it on SNL, there's not a whole lot of, see, this is what's wrong with black people shit. There's not a, well, why'd you do this, brother? Why you take this part in this movie? You know, but when it's a black woman, it's like the weight of the world is on her shoulders. She can't make any decision people wouldn't approve of. She can't even get paid for the kind of work that she does, which is so fucked up.
Right, which is why you have to get to the point. It's a hard for a lot of black women to get there, not only with comedy but just in life. You got to get to the point where you got to say fuck it, because if you don't, you will drive yourself insane trying to please people that really don't have your best interest in mind, and a lot of people that are jealous of you, and a lot of people that don't care anything about you.
Right. So I just think, you know, people need to consider that before they start going off on the deep end with the whole, like, you know, why she shouldn't be this. It's like, yo, there's a lot of y'all don't approve of your cousin that watches Tyler Perry movies.
Come on, dog.
Like a lot of y'all have harbored some resentment inside, and it manifests in shit like this, you know. And like I said, I don't have a problem with people that have a problem with that movie. If you really do feel like I don't like the portrayal that they chose for the black character, I'm fine with that. But take it up with the writers, take it up with Feig, who directed the thing. Take it up there. Don't take that shit to Leslie's doorstep. Don't be on Twitter talking about some, you gonna say something about this, sis? Are you stupid? Anyway, I'm getting mad all over again. Lenore312 says, hey Rod, hey Karen, I must say that you and Karen changed my mind on Leslie Jones back during the slave joke issue. I'm dealing with my areas of respectability every day. A lot of it being under the white gaze. Everyone upset about her role needs to think about what the end goal is. More roles for black people. Much like the white ability to make mediocre movies, I want so many roles for black people and other people of color that a stereotypical role does not matter. And also, she is not being stereotypical. It appears to be her personality every damn day of her life. That's her.
Yeah,
see, that's the other thing about comedic acting. They pick you based on what you do a lot of times because it's comedy. So it's like, we're gonna pick a comedian. We want Leslie Jones to be Leslie Jones. We don't want to hire Leslie Jones. Well, we should have hired Wanda Sykes.
Right, you know, because it's just two different forms of comedy.
Yeah, it's just two, like, it wouldn't even fucking make sense if they had her in there not being herself. It'd be like, why'd you spend that money on her then? Why'd you hire her? Why'd you cast her if you're not gonna have her do the things that people find her to be funny doing? It's just a lot of people just don't find her funny. They don't want to admit that a lot of reason why they don't find her funny is because she's so big, black, unapologetic, and vulgar. They don't want to say that that's why they don't like her, because that would sound like respectability politics. She exists and other women like her exist. If that isn't your brand of comedy, don't watch. Don't call for her to leave a paying job so you can feel better about black representation, because if she does not take the role, because if she does not take the role and they put a white woman in the role, we ain't represented. Can't have it both ways. Support the roles you like, that's fine, but don't take money out of someone else's pockets because of how you want to be viewed by white people. I don't watch Tyler Perry unless it's a bad movie night. I stop talking badly about people who like them because those people are my family. I don't bash it publicly from a this makes black people look bad area because that says that people who are really like those TP characters are bad in real life. It does, man. You know, not to mention, like, I remember we had this conversation on the show so long ago, but it's funny thinking about, you know, even this long ago, I still believed this and was consistent. I was like, why would you diss Tyler Perry movies based on race when there's so many reasons to talk shit about a Tyler Perry movie based on quality?
Right. It has nothing to do with the race.
You would never even make it to race if you just want to, and it's not like a secret. I think people that love Tyler Perry movies laugh about the same shit, like, right. Yeah, he did do this, and oh yeah, remember when he gave everybody the AIDS? Like,
yes.
I don't think it's like a, you know, I don't think Tyler Perry is considered a sacred cow in the black community. Mm-hmm. It's just this idea of there's one way to criticize it where it's like, oh, these movies can be kind of bad, and then there's another way where it's these movies make black people look bad, and that's fucked up.
Yes sir.
My uncle always says everything is good to someone. You can't hold your opinion of what is good or bad as the guideline. Basically, someone talked to me about music the other day, and it was like, Life of Pablo sucks. I was like, well, we just can't have a conversation.
Right. So
obviously, I disagree. I don't know what to tell you.
But like, and why are we still talking?
Right. I just feel like he should. I'm good. I like it exactly as it is. Right. It's dope.
So there's no reason to continue this conversation.
Right. It's cool to not have to discuss music. It's subjective. Oh, if we don't vibe on a lot of shit, we're not going to talk about music. My uncle always says, oh yeah, wait, I'm sorry. I'm sad about MHP, and I think this kind of ties to Leslie too. MHP fucked up one good time with RD, Rachel Dolezal, and some prominent and not so prominent black supporters turned their back on her. She broke the ever-changing black rules. Then white people in charge saw that chance to facilitate her downfall. So now we have one less space of black representation. You know, that good, edumacated, non-sassy type, respectable black y'all beg for. I wasn't always able to watch, but I would retweet when we were collectively watching as a family. Word of mouth brought me to Nerdland, and the silence caused me to let it fall by the wayside. Now it's gone, and I know it won't come back on such a major channel for a long time. It is a loss for us all. Shout out to her for the tweets of flame and leaving with her head held high and the skeletons laying outside the closet in a crumpled heap. She gonna be all right, and I hope she gets back on to TV someday. Y'all listen to Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine when they covered that. It was so funny. It's like, they was reading her tweets live, basically. Like, and then did you see this girl? She put the gif of the burning car. Side note, Chris Rock denounces his niggas versus black people bit because white people were laughing a bit too much for his liking. He realized it was playing to their racist thoughts on black people. Unfortunately, it's still out there and he has to take the hit for that. Love y'all as always. Keep up the good work. Lenore 312. Thank you, Lenore.
Thank you.
And, yeah, I've heard that he's renounced it since. I want to be clear. There's, everybody fucks up. Everybody. Mm-hmm. I never liked the niggas versus black people bit. Like, I laughed at it because it's funny, but I never agree with it.
Right.
I just thought it was extremely funny. And it was, and I think if you look at it on a subversive level that he probably didn't even look at the time, is that it's really a black person, wanting the same privilege as white people. It's really what that bit is about. Because the end result is, I did all the things white people say you're supposed to do. Y'all still treat me like the bad black people that I'm agreeing with you exist. Now, why are y'all treating me this way? You know, it's almost like a black Republican version of, but it, anyway, the point being, I don't find that bit to be something I can agree with, even though I do find it to be funny. End of the day, he doesn't stay stuck there in my head. Mm-mm. When he did the Oscars the other night, I didn't write him off because I didn't agree with some of the stances he took in his jokes. Some of it was funny, some of it wasn't funny. But the thing is, he's the same guy who goes out and campaigns for Leslie Jones to get work. He's the same guy. You know, he's the same guy that talks about racism being a problem for white people to solve and not a black kid. Like, you know, he's the same guy. And I think a lot of times what happens is in this climate, and especially with the internet and just like how everything's now about winning an argument more than gaining an understanding. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of binaries set up. So it's like, you either this or you either that. And sometimes people just do the, well, you said this one time, the end. But life's not binary. Right. It's not a realistic, that's not a realistic depiction. Like, one of the reasons I don't like talking about this election shit is because most people are so binary at this point, I can't have a real conversation with them. Mm-mm. You know, I end up making jokes or blocking them on Twitter and Facebook and shit because they're silly. It's a silly conversation. It is silly, in my opinion, and I'm sure this is very unpopular, especially with black people. It's silly to keep bringing up the 94 crime bill. It's silly. Everybody voted for it. Bernie voted for it. Hillary stumped for it. The choices are Bernie and Hillary. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, when we bring it up, then the other person just brings up the other thing. So if I go, well, you know, Hillary said that shit about super predators and tried to get that bill to go through, her husband's, you know, the president's bill. She was a major part of stumping for that. Yeah, well, you know, Bernie voted for it. Oh, yeah, that's true. You know, he did a speech about how he didn't want to. He still voted for it. Mm-hmm. You know, you flip it the other way. Hey, Bernie voted for the 94 crime bill. Yeah, well, Hillary was campaigning for it. Like, so to me, it becomes a non-issue. Not to mention, almost every black politician voted for the shit too. You know what I mean? Not to mention, our community at the time really was actively being like, we need to lock motherfuckers up.
Yep.
Like, it was a very popular stance. This wasn't some, like, at the time, it wasn't perceived as an attack on the black community, no matter how it panned out.
Right.
But it wasn't perceived that way at the time. And the point being, because of people's confirmation bias and just wanting everything to be so binary, they view everything this way. Whether it's Leslie Jones, like, even if Leslie Jones did a bit where I don't agree with that, I still wouldn't be like, man, fuck Leslie Jones, man. You know, even after MHP and the Rachel Dolezal thing, I saw people go straight to fuck her forever. But it's like, you agree with 99% of the work she does.
Right.
You know, and now I will say this, though, and I can't say how I know. I can just tell you that I have it on good authority. It wasn't about the ratings after the Rachel Dolezal shit.
Mm-mm.
I can only tell you that that's as much as I can say. I have it on good authority. It was not a ratings thing.
I never thought it was.
Yeah. Cause, well, I think it stopped, people stopped tweeting about it as much. And maybe we associate, cause we're on Twitter a lot, we associate Twitter live tweets with ratings. But apparently the ratings did not tick down much after that interview. So, and keep in mind, it's in comparison to whatever the fuck MSNBC does now, which is 40% less ratings.
Come on, dog.
So, she was definitely, it was not a ratings thing. They just fucked up. Amani says, I can't lie, I definitely felt some kind of way at seeing the Ghostbusters trailers and realizing the only black person wasn't a scientist again. But that comes down more to the fact that she was the only one, and to a lesser extent, not trusting the director with black people. I haven't been impressed by how they've handled diversity, and they're only one step removed from the Tina Fey crew and her constant disappointment on race. Yeah, that's true. I don't even know who wrote this. I'm assuming.
I don't know who wrote it either.
Yeah, I was assuming maybe the white actresses that were in the movie wrote it, but I don't actually know that. Also, I don't think there's anything wrong with being disappointed in the trailer.
Mm-mm.
Like I said, I just don't want it to be, and it's Leslie Jones' fault. That's
right,
bullshit.
She didn't write the trailer.
Be disappointed in the trailer all you want. Be disappointed in the lack of diversity all you want. Just don't say, and now a black person is the one that has to answer to why I feel disappointed. That's just fucked up.
Right.
If I'm not in the decision making process, you leave me the fuck out of it. Because right. Don't nobody walk up in Walmart or to your job and be like, why y'all selling these socks, huh? You know these, you know child labor was involved in this. You would look at them like they were crazy.
Hey, motherfucker, I'm an hourly employee. Who you want to talk to Mr. Walmart? Here's his email address.
If I walked up in the fucking Apple store and was like, you know children made these, right? Child slaves. No one that works in Apple Care is going to be like, and now I got to quit. I gotta prove to the world that I'm woke.
Think about security.
Right. Anyway, he says, it bothers me in the first two movies that where Winston never really felt like he was part of the team, and her praising how smart her white co-stars rubbed me the wrong way. But I also realize it's just a trailer, and I'm putting too much stock into that when I don't know how or why any of those lines or roles play in context. And to be honest, I could have gotten over a lot of that if it were funnier. That's true. With that being said, I never had a problem with Leslie Jones herself. Seeing the attack she got made me a even more vocal supporter. The director said he originally wrote the role for Melissa McCarthy, but then changed his mind when he realized Leslie would be the perfect for it. Yeah, I could understand that too, because Leslie was funnier than Melissa in that trailer. Mm-hmm. I can watch that be my agenda when it come out. Even if the movie bad, I'm gonna be walking out of there like, it wasn't Leslie's fault. That's gonna be my agenda.
Yep.
Melissa McCarthy is terrible. I bet you Leslie would have did it better than every role Melissa gets after that. I'm gonna be like, Leslie would have did a better job.
Hashtag
that shit. Anyway, that's the kind of casting we've that's the kind of casting we've actually been asking for in Hollywood, where like, oh, this role is written for Melissa McCarthy, but Leslie is better at this kind of comedy and she's better at doing it, so let's give her that role. I'll admit to being wary about it in a way I wouldn't be if the writers or director were black or there were more diversity on the team, but I won't know for better or worse till the movie is out, not based on the trailer. So much of the criticism were just about Leslie herself, though. It's one thing if you don't find her funny, not all comedy works for all people, and that's fine, but when you start saying she's setting us back by playing a character that's true to herself, you're saying there's not a place for that kind of blackness, and that's fucked up. That's why Formation was so powerful. It wasn't just that it celebrated being a black woman, but Southern black women too. Because too often that's still put down. That's the same internalized hatred when people attack Karen for her accent. When Bernie Sanders says he'll do better with Northern blacks, we all unite over how fucked up that is, but too many of us still maintain that feeling of the right way being black in public or in the white gaze, and it's sad to see. Anyway, great show as always. I appreciate the perspectives.
Thank you, sweetie.
Yep. Those are the parallels I see when I talk about that shit too. These are the same kind of people that don't like our show because Karen's got an accent and shit. You're like, what? You know? Y'all just some Southerners. Like, just shut the fuck up then. Go listen to something else.
Right, it's plenty other shows out there for you.
EVE says, after watching the trailer, I wasn't crazy about Leslie Jones in Ghostbusters, and honestly, it wasn't because she's not cast as a scientist. I had no problem with that. What bothered me was that she seemed like one big walking stereotype. But when you mention people having a problem with how she is, was just another form of respectability politics, that really gave me pause. I have family members and friends like her, and I'm not ashamed of her. It made me wonder if I care too much about the white gaze. Sometimes we don't even realize we're doing something until someone else points it out. This episode is one of the reasons I enjoy the Blackout Tips podcast so much. You guys don't just make me laugh, but you also make me think. Oh man. Aww,
thank you, Edie. Dope.
Yeah, a few people told us, you know, y'all changed my mind. I appreciate y'all saying that. You know, the whole time I was just like, man, probably mad about this.
Right.
But I can't not say it, man. I felt really passionate about it. And I'm sure there's still people that don't agree, but they probably just didn't say anything, which is fine with me. You don't need to let me know how much you disagree, but I think it's just poisoning, man. We're all poisoned with that shit. And because we don't confront ourselves and be like, why do I feel like that?
Right.
We just think it's good that we feel that way because we do. I feel this certain type of way. This kind of woman is a shame and an embarrassment to black people. It's like, But why? Why did you, why is that a shame to you?
Right, because the sad part about it, the way you feel about her, it's the same way somebody feels about you. And people fail to realize that because everybody has their respectability politics about all every another group of black folks, you know, when it comes right. to that. So you're shaming her and your lifestyle and the way you live, somebody feels the same way about you, sweetie.
Should MHP have stayed at MSNBC and done the show despite the changes? Yes or no? 5% of our audience does say yes. She should have just got up there and been the black token person and done the news, whatever MSNBC wanted her to do. Mm-mm. And 95% of y'all are cool with me and can come to my cookout because I say no as well. All
right. She was in a position where she could say kiss my ass, and that's the position that most people want to be in, a position where they can say no. That's what most people are striving for, to be in a position where they can look somebody in the eye and say, I will not do that.
Yep. VC3 says, no, MHP shouldn't have stayed at MSNBC. Think of it this way. You spend 3 to 4 years building a brand and an audience, introducing different and at time divergent voices to the audience with consistent accolades and success, save for a few flubs. The network then decides that instead of that, you want to see Donald fucking Trump or Ted Cruz or Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton give a rally, and people want MHP to sit there and take it. Also, people are forgetting that MHP was traveling to those early primary caucus states presumptively to be part of a network election coverage and got sidelined by the network. Right. She was doing part of that. Partially, that was because she had, I think it was called Wake the Vote. She had this thing on where she was teaching her students. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not a coincidence she stayed in the same hotels as MSNBC. They could have put her on the air. They didn't want to. They rather get people that lie, people that defend Trump, people that are racist, that kind of shit. But some out here want her and just put on a show that they would have chopped and screwed to death with campaign rallies and constant election prattle. MHP was right to quit. If they didn't want to put the show on that she wanted to do, she had every right to walk off of it. Yep. End of the day, you own yourself, man.
Correct.
Nobody can make you do some shit you don't want to do. Mm-mm. We got episode 1153. Jeez. Tried that one with that Scooby Doo truck. Eve says the hypocrisy of the fans supporting Sharapova is sickening. They are bending over backwards to protect their precious little snowflake. We all know if it was Serena, the media would be crucifying her. It was so disheartening to read so many comments about people saying Serena is also doping, even though she's never tested positive and she has had way more random drug tests than Sharapova. Sharapova is a loser. She was taking those drugs and still got her ass beat. Mm-hmm. I'd add one more thing to that, which is, Sharapova was like, well, I had this medical condition, which is why I was taking it for 10 years. Even though the recommended dosage is for 5 to 6 weeks. There were all the other Russian athletes is on the shit too. All the other people that got caught.
Right.
Like, it's, they all got the same disease. Fuck out of here, man. I'm so glad Karen is still alive after eating Chipotle. One of us. Speaking of Chipotle, I got a coupon in the mail for a free burrito or bowl from them. Not buy one, get one free, but free. Guess what I'm eating this weekend? I'm gonna say Chipotle. And the poll was, do you think porn is good for gender equality? No or yes? 57% of our audience say no, it's not good for gender equality. And 53% said yes, it is. No comments because it's about porn and everybody's shame.
Oh, they're scared.
That's what I'm left to assume. Then we had episode 1154, Bette Midler is a savage. We had 3 comments on this joint. We talked about Kim Kardashian's selfie, gay news, mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren being trolled by Bernie supporters on the Facebook page. Let's see. Fisk said, Fem_ask, Olivia says, in regards to the news about the increase in the LGBT population in traditionally red states, how do they know the gay people moved to those places? Is it possible that as the country as a whole became more accepting, more people came out in traditionally hostile states? The other thing it was considering is where are they moving from? Are we talking about people from Provo, Utah, who would have moved to San Diego, are now moving to Salt Lake City instead? Because I doubt we are talking about people who are moving from San Diego to Salt Lake City. As between the Dem candidates, I have heard Hillary discuss employment discrimination against gay people, which I appreciate hearing. Well, here's, well, I feel like Bernie would discuss it as well. He would just say, of course it matters that I discuss this anyway.
they gotta get jobs.
Well, he would just say, like, I think his thing is, like, if you ask him something like, so if he's socially progressive on something, like not a fiscal issue, his answer is always like, of course. You know, he's like, well, what about Black Lives Matter? Of course Black Lives Matter. Like, what about equal pay for women? Of course equal pay. You know, like, he's like, of course. Like,
repeating what you said. Yeah, yes. Like,
why are you asking me this stupid shit? What I was going to say, though, is it was a poll that was going by population. So what they were saying was the population numbers were decreasing in San Diego and Atlanta and like some of these cities where it's like a hub city for gay people, because, you know, it's like, here's a place you can go and be semi-open about being gay as opposed to other places. And I think people kind of make a mecca out of these places because it's like, if I'm coming from, like, if I'm anywhere in the United States and you say, you're okay, magic wand, you're gay now, you don't feel accepted or safe wherever you're at, where would you go? The vast majority of us are going to say something like, hey, Atlanta, San Francisco, LA, mm-hmm, maybe DC, possibly, like New York. We're all gonna come up with the same like five cities, you know, and then there's a whole dearth of America that we would just completely avoid. So it could just be that people are also saying like, well, now I wouldn't have answered yes to this poll in, you know, 2010, but now I will in 2016. That could be a result. But it seemed like it was tracking more just like population growth wise. It was going down in certain areas and up in other areas. So maybe that's why they assumed it was travel. But you're right. I don't know for a fact. It really could be people going, I'm not moving all the way to San Diego if I can just move to Salt Lake City. Who knows?
Closer trip.
Yeah. But I guarantee you there is somewhat of an exodus. Or I don't guarantee you, but I would feel it's reasonable that there would be an exodus from some of these places that are more traditionally considered, well, this is a gay friendly area, because people might be like, yeah, I like San Francisco, but I just because I'm gay in San Francisco doesn't mean I'm living the gay dream in San Francisco. I might want to go somewhere else, you know,
place my roots somewhere else. They, you know, gay people want to travel too. People act like they, you know, they only in these areas and nowhere else in the country. That's why you have people saying ignorant shit.
Yeah, how many people are in San Francisco and shit, but they were originally from somewhere else anyway?
True.
You know, and maybe it's dope there, but they're like, hey, I had the same impetus to go home and, you know, spread my roots. You know, I still grew up in the country or wherever, or in this state or whatever, and now maybe I can go back. But who knows how that's going to turn out. Corgi Dicep says, I can speak a little about Utah, caveat, white straight male, lived there for 33 years before moving 4 years ago. I got pretty active in the LGBT movement, particularly after Prop 8 in California. Utah is very much a theocracy, especially outside of Salt Lake City, and it was and still is very difficult to come out there. The church is ingrained into your identity. The culture outside of SLC, Park City, and some of the universities is largely homogenous. I met one non-Mormon, a Catholic, prior to 18. Coming out often meant losing your family, your friends, your community, and more fundamentally, your identity. The suicide rate for LGBT was scary. After Prop 8, the LGBT community became much more fired up with protests, psychological support, media campaigns, and political maneuvers. I haven't been there in 4 years, but from what I've heard, it feels, quote unquote, safer with this visible support, so more people come out. More families have to come to terms with more acceptance. I wouldn't be surprised if the move into red states is actually due to not moving out of red states. Anyways, those are my thoughts. This is the first time I've contacted the show, but I've been listening for about 2 years and a premium for a year and change. This is literally my favorite podcast of all time. You two are the best. Keep up the great work. Thank you,
sweetie.
And thanks for writing in, man. Appreciate you. Maya B says, regarding the politics of being bi in the LGBT community, yes, there's people in the community who tell me that people like me don't exist. It's hard being told that you're supposed to straddle the line of gay and straight when bisexuality and pansexuality is so much deeper than that. As a 21-year-old lesbian, is that or maybe that's a capital I. As a 21-year-old lesbian, I think that's right, and if I'm not, let me know. Sorry about that. I'm a bisexual lesbian, okay? Oh, lesbian. That's what that means. Oh, I'm stupid.
I didn't know either.
Oh, it's les and then bi, like the B-I, like bisexual. The B-I is capitalized. Lesbian, like lesbian, but I'm bisexual. Okay, damn.
I'm with you now, baby.
All right. Learn something new every day. As a 20-year-old lesbian, I'm a bisexual lesbian. I came out when I was 18 after being in the closet for 7 years. Despite my coming out to an LGBT group on my campus, I still felt very dumb, still dealt with very dumb questions about what being bi was, and that since I haven't had sex with a girl, I'm still a baby lesbian. Despite all of this, I'm very happy with young folks figuring out who they are and loving themselves. Signing off, the resident baby listener of the show. Well, thank you for listening,
sweetie.
And you know, one thing that is kind of, I don't know how society's ever gonna get over this, but I feel like stupid questions are just part of learning with some of this shit. And I say that as a black person that hate, and an introvert that hates stupid questions. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like stupid questions are just part, like, people, especially when a new concept is introduced to them, most people don't have the capacity to not ask a stupid question. Like, they could go Google, they could do a bunch of shit, but you in their face and you just told them something new, and I feel like they gonna ask
because, yeah, they feel like it's one of those things where I understand the frustration from the person, but it's just one of those things where sometimes it can be frustrating to you to quote unquote be a spokesperson for some shit that you didn't plan on being a spokesperson for. And I think too, a lot of times they feel like, well, I'll ask you, because a lot of times they feel like I get more of a true answer, even though you don't represent the whole group, but they feel like I will get a truer answer from you. And like I said, I'm the type of person that if I don't understand or a new concept, I'm that asker, because I was like, I want to get a better concept. And it's asking out of wanting to enhance my thought process, not as going to insult you as an individual person.
And we all start at stupid,
right?
When a new concept is typically put in our face, we all start at stupid. And I'm sure there's embarrassing questions in my mind that now that I know better, I would be like, oh man, I can't believe I asked this person that. But you know, but at the same time, I understand it's annoying. Trust, I understand that it's annoying. Just, you know, and I'm not saying as equal and opposite of anybody else's experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just annoying. For just the things I deal with, I can't imagine other shit. You know what I mean? Like, this is just my set of shit. If it was other shit, it would be even more annoying, I'm sure. But yeah, I, you know, there's been times where I'm just like, you know, no, you can't touch my hair, or you know, or get away from my beard, person. Yeah. I don't know. And you know, or you know, whatever it is, where like, oh, I get so tired of people asking me every day, like, so how'd you grow that beard? It came out of my face, you know. But it's kind of, but at times they're asking because they don't know.
True.
You know, anyway, I was just saying, I understand. Who won, Bette Midler, Chloe Grace Moretz, or Kim Kardashian, or Miley Cyrus? Coming in with 56% of the vote, the winner is Bette Midler. Bette Midler, you won the internet slander off. Coming in second, Kim Kardashian, who the judges may be looking at the judges, she may have cheated. Word on the street is, I was reading an article today that said a forensic, like a linguist, like a person that looks at language, for like suicide letters and confessions and shit, to be like, did this person write this or not, professionally, said that it looks like Kim's tweets were ghostwritten by Kanye. So that's like using PEDs.
That's an unfair advantage.
And then Chloe Grace Moretz got 4% and Miley Cyrus got 0%. We got a couple comments. Amani says, of course Kim won. The only reason I know anything about what she's doing is from people who don't care about her. Tell me in detail what she's up to and she was feeling good enough and how about how she looked to take the selfie in the first place. So it was a win-win. Like Rod said, your only job when that happens is to say thank you and no thanks and move on. I'm really tired of people freaking out every time there's a naked woman on the internet anyway. That said, Betty is a goddamn savage. She is, yo. Yeah, she did that. She was able to get in there and talk that shit without even being like taking it to the sexist, like you're a slut whore level. She basically said you love attention, which really difficult to argue. You know what I mean? Like she, Kim love attention. That's what she do. EVE says Bette Midler gives zero fucks and I love it. But for all we know, Kim could have been wearing a bikini under those black strips. Yeah, that's my thing that everyone would have got united and outraged about is, can we stop calling non-nudes nudes?
All right.
I'm so sick and tired of clicking on shit thinking I'm about to see some titties and it's not titty one to be seen.
Areolas.
Right. I feel like we all should be able to unite on this. If I get one more, a naked photo shoot of so-and-so and then you look at the thing, it's like she's not, you can see a little butt crack. That's it. You know, it's like, if it is it a naked photo shoot, if you're holding your titties so that nobody can see them and mm-hmm. you got a rug over your vagina and you're wearing shades and like, come on, man. Pretty soon they just gonna be like, naked photo shoot and it's gonna be a person wearing clothes. Like, well, I'm naked under these clothes.
Like, no, that don't count.
All right. If you look past these clothes, I'm naked. But he said, she goes on to say, I only saw the picture because it's trending in the news, and I think the people who are most bothered by her are the same people who follow her on Instagram, Facebook, watch her shows, seek out articles about her. It's so strange that so many people who claim to hate her know so much about her. I know.
No more than you do.
Yep, I had to get some of them off my Facebook page. Like, man, y'all are horrible. Y'all think, the thing is, people convince themselves that, like, I can feel this way about her, but it won't extend to anything else. And I'm like, but that's just making you a hypocrite.
Right, I don't believe you.
Like, if you think she needs all her clothes back on to stop doing this, then you think that about other women too. Don't.
Yes, you do.
You might not be famous and you might feel nicer about them so you won't tell people, but come on. You absolutely feel that way about your friends and family and all that shit too. All right, and then the last episode is Hijo de Puta. We had Reagan Gomez on and we reviewed The Walking Dead.
A lot of fun.
It was extremely fun. Reagan's always a great guest. She listens to the show and I hope you guys go check out her podcast, Reaganomics.
It is good.
We had a couple comments. Hiroja Shab says, okay, Rick, I was kidding about the Maggie coupon 2-for-1 Hilltop Saver program. The car is not worth all that. It probably doesn't even have great gas mileage. Have a great Saturday, y'all. Law says, I need Rick Squad to party with me in Call of Duty. They were getting so many kill streaks. I thought someone was going to call in the care package.
Right.
Seriously, they could have brought in the nukes. And the poll is Aisha Curry, yay or nay? 81% of y'all say yay. Which means 19% of y'all say nay. Nay to Aisha Curry. Really? Really, guys?
I don't have a problem with her.
Like, what did she do to you? It's not her fault that hotep ass, ashy, dusty niggas keep using her as a bludgeon against women who don't have the same value system as she does.
Right. Now, that's not erasing the fucked up shit she said, but yeah.
They don't even know her. They just use her to talk shit about other people.
Mm-hmm.
So sad. And none of, she wouldn't be with any of these dusty niggas. They can't even hit free throws, let alone threes. All right. We had one voicemail. Let's see if I can play this.
Hey, Ryan Karen. This is Jada. I just had a couple of comments about Leslie Jones' role in Ghostbusters. So actually, I vaguely remember the original Ghostbusters movie. And so when I saw the trailer and that the first part said that there were four scientists, that's why I initially got upset because I was like, well, if there were four scientists, you know, in the original movie, then why can't Leslie Jones' character, you know, be a scientist now? And so we discussed it a little bit in Nina's group, and I learned, like you guys were saying, that actually the character
actually they were saying that Eddie Murphy was originally supposed to pay the black character, and then kind of when he rejected it, then his role got diminished greatly. And so then I was upset about that, yeah, that like the black character role got diminished, and then now that I guess maybe they want to have continuity so that Leslie Jones' character is also now a non-scientist. But yeah, I'm surprised that people are mad at Leslie Jones. I was not, when I initially saw the trailer, I wasn't mad about Leslie Jones. I was just upset that it seemed like from the trailer that her character may be only giving comic relief to the movie. And so because I'm actually a scientist myself and a black woman, I just know how important it is to have that representation. And that unfortunately, a lot of our children who, you know, don't even know about engineering or things like that, like they don't even, you know, think about that that's something that they could do. So, of course, I know that, like, one movie is not responsible for representation of, like, blacks or other minorities, you know, in a STEM or scientific field. But just personally, that was something that I would have wanted from the character. But I'm just very surprised that people are blaming Lady Jones for it. I was just more upset about that whoever, you know, the writers or directors, that they couldn't have her to begin with some type of intellectual component to the story. But like you guys said, that's just the trailer. So who knows? She might be giving some other type of expertise that just wasn't shown in the movie. But again, guys, really love the show and can't wait to hear your feedback.
Thank you, Jada.
Thank you, sweetie.
And also, I just think systemically, if you watch that trailer and had an issue with the casting, you had an issue with the writing, you had an issue with the lack of diversity, I get that. Like I said, I just think that lies at the writers and Feig's feet, the director. You know, I just don't think it lies at Leslie Jones' feet, and I think we can all agree there, because I'm not anti, we don't need no representation and
right.
Shit like that. I think it does matter. I think and I did find that misleading when it said four scientists did this, because I was like, I don't think Winston was a scientist back in the old one.
Then when they rebooted the cartoons, they had him as a scientist.
Oh, he did? He was in the cartoons?
Yeah, but okay. But never in the original movie.
Okay, yeah, so I don't know, man. I just think it's more of a build up of just people being so fed up, you know, where you're just like, again, you know, I was hoping it'd be different this time and all this shit. So, and maybe it will be. We haven't seen the movie. I just keep cautioning against that, because I said the same thing with the Zoe Saldana shit, where I was like, if it looked bad, she getting fried. And mm-hmm. The movie looked bad. Now, maybe there's some kind of way that you can go in that movie and it don't be bad. I can't imagine it.
Me either, because visuals matter.
I'll see when the reviews start coming out. I can't imagine it. But with this trailer, they could easily be throwing an okie doke. She could be a scientist. I don't know. You know what I mean? They could easily be like, yeah, this is not what it seems or whatever. Or it could be just what it seems. And if she's still the funniest person in the movie, then that's all that matters for her job. The rest is on the studio and the executives and the writers and the casting and the directors and shit like that. I think we have to stop just focusing on the black person and trying to make them seem like they're a problem, because it's sad. It's like we're doing the best we can to make it not fun to be black. That's how it feels to me, where it's just like, you black, so now you gotta take on this mantle for everybody. It's like, man, I don't think about shit like that. I do my job. That's what I do. And I want to do a good job. And I don't come in you don't catch Leslie in articles excusing racism and saying how black people are the worst and shit. So can we stop? Anyway, we have three emails. We'll get to those. What's the yams? Greg writes in, love the show. I'm a premium subscriber. I bounce at a bar at the beach in Florida, and white guys whitewashing black music is not a fad. It is an industry. From an all old white man reggae band to a three man band that played a root set on the plus side, I have watched a table of dude bros sing SWV, I'm so into you. Also, y'all need a Game of Thrones style house banner with the nothing's wrong with funny motto. Thanks for all the laughs. Thanks, Greg. Yeah, I don't know about that. Watching that, watch that. I'm so into you with a bunch of dude bros, but sounds fun. Koba X says, hey, y'all, maybe send this to the wrong email, but I love you guys so much. I drive for a living. And to be able to listen to you guys while I'm on the road literally saves lives, LOL. Rod, with you showing the courage you did to change careers and pursue happiness gave me the courage to do the same thing. Y'all may hear this 1,000 times a day, but I appreciate everything y'all do. And you guys have my support till I die. Hashtag TBGWT till I die, LOL. Aw, man.
Thank you, sweetie.
And stay safe on those roads. Stay safe out there on those roads, because, you know, we don't want you to die, because you said that's when you're going to stop supporting us, and we need the support.
Yes, stay fit.
Miss Smart from Whiskey, Wine, Moonshine writes in, nomination. Hey, Karen Rod, greetings. When we take this week's Whiskey, Wine, Moonshine, your chat room came up in the discussion. I casually claimed the role of Cyber Usher, so I... So I would only be right that I could, it would only be right that I confirm my position with the pastor, first lady of the church. I'd like to formally nominate and vote for myself for the head and of the usher board of the Black Baptist Church of Fire and Brimstone, Holy Mount Sinai, African Methodist, Episcopalian, Church of Christ. My entire life, my particular set of skills, and my overall temperament make me destined to be the head of the usher board. I'd rule with an iron fist. Seating would be organized and efficient. Babies would be swooped up, rested on bosoms calmly, and shuttled out of sanctuary hastily. Those caught up in the spirit would be allowed even enough space to praise dance, but not enough to hit anyone.
They won't be chewing no gum.
Show their girdles or lose their wigs. I'll ignore respectability politics and allow ladies to sit in the first pew without covering their knees and with prayer cloths. And the collection plate will always make it to the deacon without a single cent missing. This is my calling. Please make it official. Cheers.
It's official, baby.
There you go.
It's official.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, we just right now, church, let's all get together. We're going to go ahead and make her head usher.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you that are already under member of the board, because we know we didn't have a head usher, it's official now. So y'all know everything goes through her. Remember to pick up your white gloves through her next Sunday so that we can be in order. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, y'all. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow. I think D-Palm will be the guest. You guys should know him from Movie Trailer Reviews.
Woo-hoo!
And I think the Dude You Crazy podcast. So we'll talk to y'all then. Until then, love you.
Love you too.
Mwah.